Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend in the name of our brother Jesus, and also in the name of the God who has searched us and who knows us, the still speaking God, who urges us to build the beloved community of love and welcome, which Dr. King preached and prayed and fought for. I extend a particular welcome this day to those of you who might be joining us through our live streamed or recorded worship. We are a people who are separate physically, and yet we are a people who are joined by God through the Spirit in this body of Christ. Let us be that body in worship this day. No matter who you are, or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We are so grateful that you are with us in worship this day. We have a few announcements we want to share this morning. We're thanking our worship leaders, of course, for their service this day, joining their gifts together that we might worship together well. And so we offer thanks for Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, for Bill Ladd, Tom Foster, and Beth Canterbury. And of course, to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and all of the staff at Pegasus Natick for their technical expertise that makes this worship possible. We'll have a time during our worship, as usual, just following the announcements for candle lighting together. And so we encourage you to have a candle available that you can light as I light the Christ candle on our behalf. We also have a time for celebrating in prayer. And so that will happen following our the message this morning. And so we encourage you, if you would like to add to the prayer list that you find in the bulletin, any prayer celebrations or concerns that you might have, to email them now to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. If we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship this day. We encourage you to do that. We always have a time of post-worship fellowship following our worship service, and so we encourage all of you to be a part of that time together. This is an informal time of simply being together and sharing what's going on in our lives, and often, most of the time, laughs or important news that should be shared. So we look forward to seeing you there. There are links to the post-worship fellowship time in the emailing link that would have gone out on Friday or this morning, also on the church's website and in the and also in your bulletin. So we invite you to take time to do that. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have a few announcements this morning as well.
I do, thank you. So good morning. It is time for Super Bowl 2021, and I hope that you are ready for that. This is a national event that's a Super Bowl of caring, where churches and groups all over the country are raising gathering donations of food to give to their local food pantries. And we will be doing that. Our donations will be going to A Place to Turn, which also shares some of their donations with Natick Service Council. So let me give you an update on where we are. We have just finished the first quarter of the Super Bowl, and well, the Polar Bears have come to an early lead. They have raised $766 worth of donations, and the Penguins are following at a meager $100. So I hope that those Penguins can get in the game and donate some more, but we expect that these numbers will go way up over the next 3 weeks. The Super Bowl of Caring runs through the actual Super Bowl, which is February 7th, so we have 3 more weeks. The food will be donated to A Place to Turn, as I said, but if you're wondering which team you are on, it's very simple. If you live north of Route 135, you are a polar bear. And if you live south of Route 135, you are a penguin. And if you can't figure out which side of 135 you live on, if you're not in Massachusetts, you can just choose which team you want to support. And I recommend the Penguins. So it's really, really simple. You can go online to yougivegoods.com/Natick Super Bowl 2021. to make your donation. And we really appreciate all of those donations that come in to give food to our local food pantry. So thank you everyone for getting in the game. And I also want to remind folks who are members of our church that we have our annual meeting coming up in a couple of weeks on January 31st at noon. This is a really important day for our church when we gather to talk about the business, but also to celebrate being church together. There are a lot of reports that are put together by the various ministry teams throughout the church that will be reported to you. And it's just a really good time to catch up on what's going on in the church and to think about the future and where we're going. So this is really a fun and just a great time together. And we usually gather over food. We're not going to be doing that this year. You're going to have to grab your own food before you come to the meeting on Zoom. But we hope that you will join us. We do need to meet a quorum of 50 members so that we can vote on things like our 2021 budget and other church business. So we do hope that you will come and be a part of that event. I want to say too that you don't have to be a member to come to this meeting or this gathering, and we welcome anyone to join us. You just need to be a member to vote. So if you're a member, show up. We need you for that quorum. And we hope to see you there at noon in a couple of weeks. As usual, we have our midweek connection and prayer that happens every Wednesday at noon, and we invite you to join us via Zoom for that. You can find those links in our link email newsletter or on the church website. And Jonathan is available for pastoral care needs that you might have during the week, so please contact him by pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Lynn. And given the fact that I live in Cambridge, I just want to say, go polar bears. So we come to a time now as we settle into our time of worship together of lighting the candle of Christ. Let us light our candles together, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth in every beshadowed corner where the light of God is needed. Let's light our candles together. Let us continue our worship now in our responsive call to celebration.
Please join us in the responsive call to celebration. God is calling. Do we hear?
We are called by name, for God has searched us and knows us.
God is calling. Do we hear?
Sometimes when all is quiet and we decide to listen.
God waits to address us, waits for our attention.
Waits to light our way through life. Waits to help us reflect that light into the lives of others.
Together with open minds and hearts,
let us enter into the holy conversation of worship.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at God's command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of our God that filled the earth with food and formed us from the lowly sod and then pronounced us good. Oh, how your wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's no
Please join us in the opening prayer as we say together, God of presence and promise, your word was made flesh in Jesus. As he listened to you and lived life according to your will, so we listen and long for deepened awareness of your nearness and for increased sensitivity to your voice. Help us now to turn from the beguiling, seductive, and sometimes haranguing voices without and within, and to attend to your communication. And having heard you speaking, O God, help us to answer with lips that praise you and lives that honor you in willing response. Amen.
I invite us each now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands perhaps in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts perhaps with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or perhaps offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We are a church that is in mission together. We are a church that is reaching out beyond the confines of our sanctuary, and in particular during this time of COVID pandemic and lockdown, we know that very well. We are a people alive and up and about being the body of Christ and being in the world, advancing God's mission in the world. And so as we do that, we have many ways of doing that. We share the time and the talents that we've been blessed with, and we also share our money resources to make that happen through other organizations, but also through this church. And so we encourage you, even though we are not passing an offering plate, to remain a generous contributor to this church's mission and ministry. It's a unique mission and ministry. It's one that no other organization can perform. It's one that, for example, means being in worship together and being inspired and moved to be your people in the world, O loving God. And so if you would like to make a contribution to this church's mission and ministry, you can, of course, write a check and mail it to the church. You can also make an online contribution at our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We are stewards and caretakers of this world because we are made in the image of God. And so let us share that responsibility as we set aside a portion of our wealth to fulfill our task as stewards of the earth and of God's gospel of love and justice.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, you have called us, even as you have called many persons before us throughout the ages. Like them, we dedicate our lives and all that we have to the work of life and of love and of peace and of justice. Receive our gifts and lead us in wisdom and courage to be your justice-seeking people. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the books of Psalms and 1 Samuel, beginning with Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them, they are more than the sand. I come to the end, I am still with you. And continuing in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your heart, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he said, here I am. Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, I have mentioned many times before that scripture has many different kinds of places in our faith lives. And I've been thinking that we read the Bible for so many times for guidance, for reflection, for inspiration. And we go there looking for those things so frequently that we often fail to see something else that is there, and that is comedy. Take Samuel, the boy apprentice to the priest Eli. The blind master's in his room, and Samuel's lying down in the temple minding the lamp, and suddenly Samuel hears his name called and assumes that it is Eli, and he goes to see what his master wants. And Eli, of course, sends him back to bed. And again, this happens, and you can hear the exasperation in the old priest's words as he sends him back to bed yet again. And when Samuel finally comes a third time, to Eli's credit, the penny finally drops. But he's a priest, and really the fact that it takes him so long to figure out what is going on doesn't really reflect that well on his own spiritual abilities. This is comedy. This is comedy, a spiritual comedy of errors. Well, it's also a story of perception and misperception. I'm reminded of images like these. So what do you see when you see this image? Some of us very quickly see one image, maybe it's a duck. Or some of us may see some other image, maybe it's a rabbit. Or maybe you see something else, I don't know. But to see both of those images, the rabbit and the duck, you have to sometimes have been shown the alternate image. So that is true for Samuel as well. Once Eli finally knows Samuel isn't just mistaken about hearing his name called, he's able to perceive the only other possible source of the address, and that is God. And it's only when Eli explains to Samuel that it's God who is speaking that the boy's spiritual awareness awakens. Well, this is not unlike the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s experience. King often confessed that if he had known that all of what was going to be involved in being a civil rights activist, he might truly have taken a different path. But after being chosen to lead the Montgomery bus boycott, being assaulted and arrested, having his own home bombed, he saw the movement as something that was very much greater than himself. He said, "As I became involved and as people began to derive inspiration from their involvement, I realized that the choice leaves your own hands." All that was happening, the way that others looked to him, made him feel called And like Samuel, he could say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Well, their spiritual awareness awakened Samuel and Martin. Well, they were grounded in God, carrying them into but also through difficult moments. Though he had had previously death threats, on April 3rd, 1968, King spoke in support of Black Memphis sanitation workers striking for safer working conditions, higher wages, and equal treatment. And on that occasion, he told how years before, at a New York City book signing, a demented woman had stabbed him, and how the next day the New York Times reported that the tip of the blade was on the edge of King's aorta, and that if he had sneezed, he probably would have died. Well, King told his audience that evening how happy he was, that he hadn't sneezed, because he would have missed so much, would have missed students sitting in at lunch counters who were really standing up for the best of the American dream. Black people in Montgomery arousing the nation's conscience, birthing the Civil Rights Bill, and telling the world about King's own grand dream. So we too can be happy, of course, that King didn't sneeze. For if he had remained, if he hadn't been able to have remained still and calm during that attempt on his life, one of the greatest movements for justice that our nation has ever seen might not have come to be. King claimed that his calm was due not to him, but to God's power working through him. Throughout this struggle for racial justice, he wrote, "A constant prayer life and feeling of dependence on God have given me the feeling that I have divine companionship in the struggle. God can give inner peace." So King had faced setbacks and dangers, and yet he knew that God was a divine companion for him, hemming him in and behind and before, as the psalmist says, giving him what he needed to advance the civil rights struggle. One of my favorite slogans for nonviolent protest in the service of justice is a sign carried by a civil rights marcher in Selma, Alabama in 1965. "Risk in faith, decide in hope, suffer the consequences in love." Risk in faith, decide in hope, and suffer the consequences in love. Now, we know that that is not always so easy to do. But awareness of what God is calling us to be and to do, and sensing God's presence, can help us overcome our fear. All of those things can help. So Samuel's story and King's story remind us. They remind us that a spiritual life is best lived as dialogue and not as monologue. That our spirits may find their deepest peace, and we may be made more than what we would have been when we know ourselves to have been addressed. I've been thinking how when King said, "We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice," that he wasn't just making a historical observation. He was doing something else. He was making a theological assertion. He was referring to the living word. He was talking about the still speaking God, ever prompting us to see where injustice lies and to address it, and to see situations of need and address them. On this Sunday of Martin Luther King weekend, at the start of a week where deep shadows lie over the upcoming presidential inauguration. Just days following violence at the Capitol, in the cherished halls of our democracy, where armed insurrectionists, some of whom bearing the symbols of white power and swastikas, well, with all that happening, we may wonder. We may wonder, in this time, with so much anger and hatred, much of it racially fueled, how do we yet stand for justice that has been hard won in the past? And also nudge the trajectory of history further toward justice? Well, I am not exactly sure. But I think if we are going to claim the name Christian, like Dr. King, then we are going to need to be grounded in God and believe that God has something to say to us. Now, I know it sounds strange, hearing, let alone saying, God spoke to me, God called me. And it can feel strange trying to hear God's word. At first, Samuel didn't believe it, nor did King. But think about it. Think about it. God kept addressing them. And they got confirmation of this living word from others. In community, we ensure that it's God's call and not just some inner voice of our own. We make sure with the input from others that it's God's prompting. Listening and testing out with one another what we believe that we are hearing and how we're being moved to act on the side of justice and loving kindness. Granted, such grounding isn't going to shield us from hardship. It didn't King. Just one day after that Memphis speech, an assassin's bullet took his life here. But it did make all the difference. It made all the difference in his work for justice over his lifetime, organizing the Montgomery bus boycott, inspiring him to make that speech and to have that dream that we all remember so well, giving him the confidence to launch voter registration drives and the courage to defy life threats on his life and to stand against any injustice that he saw. This spiritual clarity never failed King, because he affirmed with the psalmist God's promise, I come to the end, I am still with you. So King ended that last speech saying that he wasn't afraid. I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, he said, but it really doesn't matter because I've been to the mountaintop and I've looked over. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. Justice has sometimes been defined as love acting at a distance. And that's why it's, I think, sometimes so hard for us to get a handle on. It feels sometimes that work of justice is removed from us. But it is not so removed. More than 50 years after King's death, we see how the arc of history has slowly bent toward justice. We are definitely not there yet, as the violent resistance to progress has revealed throughout this past year, and certainly on January 6th demonstrate. But there has been forward movement. And it could never have come to pass were it not for King's countless followers and companions, the multitude of others in subsequent generations who felt their hearts stirred, inspired to align themselves with the cause of racial justice and with God's way. We think of ourselves as a people who decide and strive. But our faith beckons us. Our faith beckons us to see ourselves also as summoned, to see ourselves also as empowered, to see ourselves also as promised. Sometimes God's claim on us is going to seem difficult. And yet, let's face it, the uncalled life, well, it's a boring life, really. To be called, to be commissioned, to be examined, that's a great gift. Augustine said that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee, O God. Meaning that when we know ourselves to be addressed by God, then our aimless wandering takes on a different quality, and that quality is purposefulness. Purposefulness. Being grounded in God by listening with our heads and with our hearts, then testing out this awareness with other people, we can be released by the still speaking God to nudge the trajectory of history further towards justice and a land of promise for all. Unbound to take the empathy that we feel for others and our inspiration to respond with compassionate acts a step further, unshackled to extend our love beyond the tangible needs that we see, and to seek justice around the conditions that caused those conditions in the first place. And all along the way, of course, freed to find the meaningfulness and the completion that comes from answering the call to something greater than ourselves. There are so many justice efforts that you have already taken up as a congregation. Don't stop doing that. And yet, no doubt, there is so much more to do. And so, whatever those causes may be, whatever they may be, we may take them up. We may take them up grounded in God and in discernment together. And in those things, we can risk in faith. We can decide in hope. We can suffer the consequences in love, no matter what they may be. May our loving God guide us well in our discernment together and in such courageous and hopeful risking. Amen. We come to a time now of being in prayer together, and this idea of risking in faith and hope, deciding in hope and suffering the consequences in love. This year, for me, has been a year where the truth of those things as a people of faith is coming ever more clear, and the importance of it as well, and the reality of it as well, the consequences. And so I want you to know, people of God, that our churches are not immune to the kind of hatred and violence demonstrated that we have seen. I want you to be in prayer as a worshiping community for religious institutions as well, like our own denomination and our specific churches that are taking justice stands, because those churches are being targeted in some cases. And so in this time of the weekend of Martin Luther King Jr., that weekend, and also on the verge of a presidential inauguration where many of us are concerned about violence that may occur, I ask you to keep in prayer our nation. I ask you to keep in prayer all of the public servants and elected officials who were duly elected to serve our nation, to serve our Commonwealth, to serve our community. I ask you to be in prayer together for the our sibling churches that share our values and our commitments and have taken justice stands very publicly and who may also be targets of violence and hatred as well. This is an uncertain time for us. This is an anxious time for many of us. And so we will carry those things in prayer together. And as we do so, we continue to lift up prayers for our nation and for the world, for our communities, and for every person who is struggling with either having COVID-19 or knowing people who have had COVID or are experiencing it, trying to care for them, for the medical professionals who are working with them. And in particular, we ask particular prayers from our God for our efforts to buy vaccine to address the COVID-19 virus. May our God be with all of those who are working to see the effects of the vaccine, who are trying to roll it out in ways that are just and that are effective. And so may God be with us in those things as well. Wayne Zaretter, I now turn to you to let us know about other prayer concerns or celebrations that may have been lifted up before doing our worship this day.
Good morning. Thoughts and prayers go out to the friends and family of Kevin B. Simmons, a friend of Bill Ladd's, who passed away yesterday from cancer. Prayers go out to Robin Closen's brother and sister-in-law, Brian and Silva Beckman, and their family as they recover from COVID. Prayers of healing go out to the mother-in-law of Robin's brother, Pamela Casaldio, as she faces another cancer diagnosis and treatment. Prayers for friends and family members of Susie Kinneman's friend, Justine, who passed away unexpectedly. Please help us to find peace and to comfort and support each other in this tough time. Lastly, prayers for understanding and bridge building in our tumultuous society. Please let God's love shine through each of us so that we may reflect that light to all.
I invite you to be in prayer with me. Divine companion, from beginning to end, we rest in your embrace, that we do not always acknowledge or recognize your presence. All along our days, you journey with us, however, and sometimes you are a loud shout to help us to heed your call. Sometimes you are a quiet whisper to help us to listen. You help shape our questions and are patient with our answers. Through the ages, great God, you have spoken your word to us through scripture and through witness and the prophets that you have sent. The prophets nudged our complacency and called us persistently to a new day for all God's people. This day, we give you thanks for the prophetic witness of Martin Luther King Jr., who kept before us the vision of a holy mountain where all God's children would be free and live in harmony. So nudge us to be followers of that prophets that you send to us, and strengthen us to do the simple but extraordinary tasks of loving our neighbor and praying for our enemies as Jesus taught. Speaking and listening, God, bend down and hear the yearnings lodged in our hearts beneath our praise. Hope for work that satisfies and contributes to the well-being of your creatures and all creation. Desire for open and honest relationships where pretense yields to truth. And longing, deep longing for peace and justice in our troubled world. Bend down and lift the cares from our hearts.
Lift the grieving into your arms of constant care. Hold the sick and dying with patient care. Strengthen our resolve to see that the hungry are fed and the homeless find shelter and work. And at all times, forever speaking and listening, God, help us not only to hear, but to truly listen for your living word, no matter the instrument. Help us to recognize your voice and you as the source behind the message. Give us ears to hear that we might know we are called and that we might know by whom and that we might strive to make known your word of love and forgiveness and freedom to all, and that we might strive with you and together for the justice that you lift up for all. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Made the star.
People of God, with the ears of faith, may we remain in God's grace, abide in Christ's love, and dwell with the Spirit. And may the blessings of God keep us in joy and prompt us to deeds of justice and lives of peace. Go now, beloved, in the peace of Christ. Amen.